What's going on? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, and on the phone line is Andrew Bellison. Dude, believe it or not, 4 years ago today, I interviewed you. How weird is that?
Well, I didn't realize that. I was actually thinking before I called in that you and I had met at Wrigley Field and trying to figure out how long ago that was, but I didn't realize that 4 years ago today we did the same thing.
No, so it's the weirdest thing. So 7 years ago, when you were kind of getting press about being the PA announcer for Wrigley Field, I had you on my show when I went to the radio trade class, and that was like, I think, probably May or June of 2014. And then my uncle came to town. I know for a fact that was the game when the dude that was going out with Lady Gaga was walking around. I forget his name from the anyway, doesn't matter. So he was walking around, and then after the game, I sent you a DM via Twitter, and then that's when we met, and now it's like September 2014, and then I think I interviewed you. We didn't speak for like 2.5 years, and I interviewed you 4 years ago today, and that was to talk about the Cubs winning the World Series. So it's crazy.
That's crazy. Time flies, man, doesn't it?
I know, dude. It's unbelievable. I mean, it just doesn't seem real that we're in a new decade. You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't know about you, but I recently joined Apple Music because I got sick of my Spotify playlist playing the same songs. And my brain, dude, couldn't fathom that there was a decade called the 2010s for music.
It's true. You know, the older we get, the faster time goes. It's a little scary sometimes, but you can't do anything about it, right?
There is literally nothing you can do about it. So what I want to ask you is, what happened with your job at Wrigley Field?
Well, after 10 years, I decided to step away. You know, it had been a lifelong dream of mine to be a broadcaster. And that's, you know, what I had always done before I got hired by the Cubs in 2011. I had done play-by-play in the minor leagues and PA in the minor leagues too, actually. And then a lot of broadcast work at the college level, football and basketball. And really, that's my true passion. 10 years with the Cubs doing PA was awesome. I grew up in Chicago. I grew up rooting for the Cubs. So, I mean, that made it really special. But there's just something about being in the booth and broadcasting a game. You know, there's more creative talent that goes into it. You can analyze. You get to talk and discuss. And I wanted to take that chance and hopefully chase that dream and opportunity now before it's too late. So that's what I did, and here we are.
Have you seeked out any advice? Because there are some radio towns don't have a lot of sports radio talent, but Chicago is probably one of the towns where there is like talent all across the board to reach out to.
Yeah, it's a good point, Ryan. I've talked to a handful of people, and I've been fortunate. That was one of the best things, I guess, about being with the Cubs is I did, you know, I was able to meet a lot of people, yourself included. I mean, just make a lot of friends along the way, and you know, people that are there to bounce ideas off of, and just get advice and run stuff by. So yeah, it's been really nice to be able to pick a lot of people's brains, you know, as I go forward, and I'm very appreciative of that.
You know what I've kind of learned, because I'm not exactly where I want to be, but I've definitely grown in the 7 years that I've known you. But build your own brand in the way that be the best version of Andrew, because I've interviewed so many radio people and very few of them have helped me afterwards. Like, they'll promote it on Twitter or whatever, but I'm the same person if I get a big get or not. So just focus on being the best version of yourself, because you'll... From what I've learned is I'm like, oh my God, I'm talking to Mike North for an hour on my show. And then the interview flies by and I went, okay, what's next? So like, it's the media business, bro, is like a never ending grind. And I even think the people who made it to the top in the 80s and 90s who were like shock jocks, I mean, you look at them now and they're unhappy. So I would rather be you than be one of the guys that got it immediately and then just kind of flunked out. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And I think what you said is 110% truthful. I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's really important. You know, something that I didn't really maybe want to admit when you're younger and in college and before is making connections and meeting people just for the sake of meeting people because it's fun, right? But it really does play a good part in your career as it progresses. But you're absolutely right. There's very few people that are really going to help you out. You've got to worry about you, and that's the honest to God truth. Might sound you know, hard and cold, but that's how it goes. So yeah, worrying about your brand and worry about your own business and take care of yourself, you know, while trying to help some others along the way. That's a great way to go about it. I think you said that. I think you said that absolutely perfectly. It's a tough industry, and you know that. But man, you're young still, so I mean, you're off to a phenomenal start as it is. But yeah, you got to handle your own business, no doubt.
So, what happened with Len Casper? Because I saw he left the Cubs, dude. It's the weirdest thing. I've been gone from Chicago for going on 7 years at the end of this year, and man, like I'll keep up with like Robert Feeder's articles, and I'll look at WGN News, but man, I feel so removed from the town. It's bizarre. Len Casper leaving, Terry Bohr's retiring. There's so much that happened within the media that I'm just like, damn, it changed in 7 years. It's crazy.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Len stepped away this offseason also and took the radio job with the Sox, which, you know, I guess that was something that he had always wanted to do, do radio work, and he didn't have that opportunity with the Cubs, obviously, with Pat Hughes, you know, being the radio voice for them for so long. And, you know, he was able to do that in a town that he already resided in. So win-win. Still strange to turn on a Sox game and hear Len on the radio, but man, he's good at what he does, television or radio. I'll say that.
It was weird. So it was like 2009 or 2010. He came to my school, John Hersey in Mount Prospect, and he spoke to our class. And this is before even like Facebook or Twitter. It was like Facebook or Twitter, but like people weren't using it as much. And he remembered my first and last name, and he remembered everybody in the class that was there again. It was the most unbelievable thing. And for like a 15-year-old and some of the kids that were older, it was the most crazy thing. We're all in the hall like, oh my God, the Cubs dude knows who we are. Like that meant so much to us as teenagers. And it means a lot for you too to like remember it. Like you might feel like you were just a PA announcer. Like, you know what I mean? Like you made it, but I feel like sometimes when you make it, you feel down about yourself. But like the fact that you remember people, Andrew, and the fact that guys like Len Casper remembered people like me, man, that just shows why the Cubs is the best. You know, it means a lot.
Well, thank you. Right. I mean, and that's a great story about Len. I feel the same way about him. I mean, he had been with the Cubs for maybe 4 or 5 years by the time I got hired. So like you, I grew up listening to him, right, after he took the job here. One of my first games ever at Wrigley, I was young when I got hired. I was 24, just turned 24. The old offices they used to have in like the trailers by the old players lot before they did all the additions and moved the front office across the street and whatnot. You know, I was sitting there pregame. This might have been my first opening day. I don't recall, but he walked in and I was starstruck immediately. You know, I mean, that's Len Casper, man. That's the TV voice of the Cubs. And, you know, somebody introduced me to him. And he said, you know, anytime I can ever help you, or if you ever need anything, you let me know. And he was a man of his word, because for 10 years, he was just the best guy to see, you know, around the press box. And you hit it on the head. He's just a hell of a good guy.
So what is your dream gig? Would you want to have like a morning show? Would you want to be on TV? There's a lot of things online too. Like you could do like a pay to watch service for like $4 a month. I mean, the opportunities that you could go for now is completely better than when you began in 2011, 2010, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I think for me, I'd love, you know, TV work would be awesome to an extent. I was fortunate enough the last few, you know, 4 or 5 years to do a bunch of work with Cubs Productions as, you know, hosting gigs, you know, on camera hosting and stuff like that, interviews, which I really enjoy. It's just fun. To me, that was fun. But I think, you know, play by play would, you know, that's my end goal. I had always been in the booth, and I would love to have that opportunity to do it again. I mean, or, you know, basketball, football, baseball has always been my number one love, but to be in a booth or on the sidelines somewhere calling the game, I think that's where I'd love to ultimately end up if possible.
Who were some of the names that you grew up on? So, like, for me, for radio, I was a huge Eddie and Jobo fan at B96. I mean, from being in kindergarten all the way till like, they left the radio in 2008, like, that's what I forced my mom to have me listen to every day when she was driving me to class. So, for radio, that's who I was into. Eddie Njobo, Brandmeier, Mankow. For you, for going into being a PA announcer and just everything overall, because Chicago is just flooded with talent in newspaper, plays, radio, TV, sports. Who were some of your influences throughout the Chicagoland area?
That's a great question. For me, just being sports dominated as a kid and growing up playing baseball and being a Cubs fan, I mean, I got hooked. First time I ever heard Harry Caray on TV, and obviously this was later in his career. I was probably 7 or 8 years old, so early 90s, and there was just something about watching a game that he called that just hooked me in. And I think that's really what got me so jazzed up to get into sports announcing and broadcasting is hearing him. And I mentioned a little while ago, but Pat Hughes too, when he came to Wrigley in 96 and took the Cubs radio job, I mean, if I couldn't watch the team on TV, we'd have it on the radio in the car if we were out of town, because WGN radio at that time had a pretty strong reach. So those two for sure. I grew up listening to both of them, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times.
Who was the relief pitcher in like 2008, 07, 09-ish that would blow some games? Because I remember I would listen to the radio and I would listen to Ron Santo, and I forget who the relief pitcher was or who it, but he would come in and like ruin the game, and then you would hear poor Ron like freak out on air. And that was some of my favorite memories, dude. I forget who it was.
Maybe Carlos Marmol, is that
yes.
Who you're thinking of?
Bro, that's exactly who it was. And Pat Hughes would be like trying to calm down Ron Santo, and he would like, let's say, get the like bases loaded or would walk two people, and you would hear Ron go, "Oh boy. Oh boy."
Yeah.
Is the best.
That was great.
I forgot about that, dude. Man, Ron Santo left us too soon, man. Like, he was like my favorite on the radio because there was a little bit of a bias, obviously, for the Cubs. But, man, I loved how passionate he was about it. Like, it made me want to listen.
Yeah, no question. And it was entertaining. And he obviously knew the game. He's a Hall of Famer. He played at the highest level. And that's how I felt about Harry Caray, too. It was almost like, you know, it was like him sitting next to you in the living room, but he's calling the game, but he's got his emotions on his sleeve just like you do. And there's just something so appealing about that. You can't fake that, you know?
The thing too, I feel like my whole life now, because I live in Tampa and I don't know where I'm going to live next, but I feel like my whole life, because I have this, the accent of being from Chicago, and I feel like my whole life I'm going to have to defend the town, because whenever people ask me about Chicago, they'll sadly ask about the shootings, but then they'll go, "Dub Bears making fun of the SNL thing," and then they make fun of Harry Caray.
Yep.
And I try to explain to people, I'm like, unless you're from the town, you don't get how much it means to us. Like, for example, I saw on YouTube there was this clickbait video through the algorithms, and it was like a 20-minute documentary about the 2011 debacle with Jay Cutler against the Packers in the finals. And she was like, "What's the big deal about it?" And I just couldn't explain to her like how much he let us down. Like, there's something about Chicago sports where when you're in it, like, it means the world to you, even though you're never going to meet those players. It's bizarre.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. And I feel like a lot of times they let us down, right? I mean, we have some of the most infuriating teams that we still support passionately. But yeah, it's just something like, you know, you grow up here like you did and like I did. It's just kind of like ingrained in you. It's a big part of your life, no doubt.
The one team I remember pretty well was the 98 team with Sammy Sosa. I don't know if you have any fond memories about it, but I remember my dad went to a game and he got tickets through somebody at work, and it was during the home run chase, and I think he got to see a home run. How impactful was that year for you looking back, even though it was full of cheating?
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, for me, I was a kid, so I was 11 during that season, and I remember that season vividly. It was as fun as fun got. I mean, you know, every kid, you know, wanted to be Sammy in Chicago, right? I mean, the guy was just electric, you know. And that team came out of nowhere to win the wild card and make the playoffs. It was like, how the hell did that happen? You know, with Sammy and Grace and Henry Rodriguez and, man, Kerry Wood burst onto the scene with his 20 strikeout game. And Rod Beck closing ball games out. I mean, that was just a crazy fun team that came out of nowhere, and then the next year was no good again. But yeah, I remember my parents letting me stay up late to watch that game 163 against the Giants, that play-in game, because it was a 7:30 or 8 o'clock game or whatever it had been, and that was going to be closer to getting past my bedtime at that age. So they let me stay up, which was a big deal to me, and they won, of course. It was a good night. But yeah, that was a fun season.
You know what was one of the most depressing experiences I ever had, sports or anything traumatic in my life, was going to see the Cubs in 2006, and I think they lost to the Cardinals, who ended up winning the World Series that year, like 7-0. Like, that 2006 Cubs that just were so bad, man, that's a lot of people talk about the dark times of sports and the Blackhawks before they got good or that, but like the mid-2000s after almost going to the World Series Cubs was pretty depressing.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy now, isn't it, how hard it is, especially, I mean, you know, you're going back 15 years, but even in the last, I don't know, you know, 10 years, just how hard it is to be competitive every year.
Yeah.
And the team to do it is, they really blow your mind, to be honest with you. I mean, look at this group that you know, was assembled by Theo and company before he departed, you know, starting in early 2000s or early, you know, 2010, 2011, they tore it down. Then they win a World Series, and you kind of just, as a fan, you just then expected another one and another one and another one, and it didn't happen. And it's just so hard to do. Repeat, let alone win, you know, 2 and 3 years or 2 and 4 years. It's just, with the way the game is now and the market, it's just so hard to have sustained success. And it's the teams that do it or, you know, are able to do it most consistently, man, hats off, because that's not an easy thing to do.
I sort of feel like I took the World Series winning team for granted. So I remember immediately I was like, okay, so when are we going to win the next one? And also, I was in Tampa, so I couldn't. I remember I was working a promotions gig for 102.5 The Bone, where I work at, and I remember I was so sad. I actually had to unfriend some people on Snapchat because everybody was at the rally, one of the biggest events of all time on this planet, and I'm hanging out at this biker bar in Largo, Florida, and that was one of the most depressing things. But it was also kind of cool when they won the World Series because nobody here in Florida cared, so it felt like it was my team and nobody else's. So I have a lot of mixed emotions. Like that moment, dude, when the Cubs won, I can't explain it to people. It was just the most unbelievable feeling that I don't think I'll ever feel about anything ever.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong on any of that. I think that moment for so many sports fans and generations of Cubs fans, right, all over the country, meant more than any other singular sports win, you know, in the history of any game, because of how long it had been and the build up and the way that whole series went down. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. It was crazy.
And I think what's making me appreciate the team even more is, like, besides the Blackhawks doing their thing in the 2010s, I mean, the Bulls were very short lived. They relied too much on Derrick Rose. And then the Bears, I'm done with the Bears, dude. Like, and I know everybody says that, and I will admittedly join the bandwagon if they somehow are good this year with Andy Dalton, but I'm just like, I'm so angry at the Bears, man. Like, I feel like I just let my whole life go into a team that doesn't care. Like, I feel like the Cubs do care, and that's why, like, I like the Ricketts family, you know what I mean? But like, when you look at like anything else, it just seems like our town, we're so okay with being mediocre because then it's something to talk about at the bar. It's this really weird, like, universe that Chicago sport fans, you don't realize that you're living through it, Andrew, until you leave Chicago and then you listen to Chicago radio and you read the press from outside of Chicago, and you don't realize how toxic it is at times. It's weird.
You know, that's a great point, and you're probably right. You know, living in it and being surrounded by it every day, I guess I probably don't realize how different it might be elsewhere. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's so many, you know, unapologetic Bears fans here in Chicago, and you know, you still get this vibe down in Tampa, I'm sure, about the team, that are just so PO'd because they don't know what the hell they're doing. And I'm sure there's a method to the madness, but it's like, it's like if you win, then you, then you're willing to, you know, to swallow some pride, but they don't win. So it's as a casual fan, it's frustrating as hell. Right.
And the thing too, was, I don't even know where, how do I word this? I don't even think we had a chance at getting Russell Wilson. I just think Russell Wilson just was kind of like, oh, I don't mind playing in Chicago if you give me the best deal ever. To me, the whole sports radio and everybody talking about Russell Wilson going to the Bears reminded me of when Kobe had those issues 20 years ago and then was debating about going to the Bulls, but it never really happened. And then people were talking, I was young, but I remember people were talking about, oh, could it be Ben Gordon and Luol Deng and Kobe? And like, it never happened. To me, that's how I felt about the Russell Wilson thing, was like, I'm like, this isn't going to happen. This is just fairy tale talk.
Yeah, it was like you knew it was too good to be true, but you still gave you 10 days of something exciting to talk about, right? Yeah, you're exactly right. And, of course, never came to fruition.
So what should we expect from the Cubs this year? Because I see they win some games, they lose some. I want to be able to watch it, but I need to go in with the right expectations because I don't want to get mad. And I have ADHD as well, so I have a hard time focusing on baseball ever since they won the World Series. So, as a person that you were around a team for 10 years, you've spent years being a fan, what's the key to being able to accept whatever happens this year with the Cubs?
That's the key, what you just said, being able to accept whatever happens, because I could see things going either way, to be brutally honest. I mean, I didn't, you know, in January, I didn't think the division was all that great. You know, I didn't expect a ton out of Cincinnati. I mean, they're a solid enough club, but not a world beater. Pittsburgh, you know, they're hovering around 500 now, which is surprising. I know it's early, but they're not a very talented group. The Brewers, you know, are the Brewers, and then the Cardinals made the deal for Arenado and brought him in, which was a huge, in my world, with them as runaway a favorite as you could get for the division, but thinking that it would still be relatively tight. You know, as a fan, hated to see Darvish go. I mean, really finally started to come into his own. Was phenomenal last year. Probably should have won the Cy Young. Again, I'm biased. But so to see him go, I mean, really depletes your rotation. They've got a really soft toss in rotation, and I think that's an understatement, you know, with Hendricks and Zach Davies and hell, Arrieta now, who doesn't, you know, have the stuff that he did at one time, but has thrown really well so far early this season. But, you know, the headlines now have been offense. My goodness, what happened? They can't hit the ball. You know, record-setting start to the bad for how poorly they've been offensively. Got a win last night because Arrieta threw the ball great again in five innings, but still only managed to score three runs. So, I mean, can you keep up that horrible pace? No. I mean, something's got to give. But, you know, with the way the team has hit with runners in scoring position the last several years, with the way they've struck out at a very alarming rate, which is what you see around the league now, I guess, with their inability to really play small ball and kind of move runners over and you know, manufacture runs without manufacturing runs, I don't think the offensive struggle should be a huge surprise, but at the same time, I don't think anybody thought they'd be hitting, you know, .190 as a team 3 weeks into the season either.
So now, if there was a person, so a lot of times what happens is, like, because I upload this podcast to all the different platforms, like, random people will find it. And, like, if I were to interview somebody, let's say from Los Angeles, I'll get a comment from them and they're like, why isn't that person on air anymore? And I'll never know what to say because I just interviewed the person. So what I'm saying is, if somebody was going to Google your name, this might show up along with the other Cubs podcasts that you have done. So to a person out there that's listening that would debate about giving you a job, what would you bring to the next job that you're going to manifest, the next dream job for Andrew?
Yeah, you know, that's what I bring, my true love and my true passion, and I think what I'm good at is play by play work, and that's what that had always been my focus, and you know, I got derailed from that for 10 years to spend 10 unbelievable years with a phenomenal organization in the Cubs. And, you know, doing public address work for a team, you know, of that nature, just, again, growing up here and rooting for them. And it was just, it was probably the most special 10-year ride that I could have asked for. And the timing was just absolutely impeccable, given the run they had, the best run, you know, in the history of their franchise. But yeah, it was time to step away. I wanted the challenge of not only finding the right opportunity somewhere, but the daily challenge of calling a game and broadcasting and analyzing and being able to take that approach rather than just the daily scripted work of a public address announcer, which there's nothing wrong with. But for me, it had just run its course. So I figure now's the time to do it. Before I get any older, and otherwise I'll regret it. So that's the decision that was made.
How can people reach you online?
You know, easiest way is probably through Twitter. My handle is still at Chicago Cubs PA. I have not changed that. And I love interacting with people on Twitter. I've been doing it a bunch, you know, always, you know, throughout baseball seasons, but since stepping away from the Cubs as well. And I would say that's probably the best way to engage, and I love to hear from people.
So afterwards, I'm going to DM you. There's this media network that I just joined, and basically people can pay to watch you do your show, and there's a lot of names on there. It's called the No Filter Network. Like Brian Urlacher's on there, Jeremy Roenick's on there, and I think you would be perfect for that. So you like apply to get on it, and then you do like a Zoom interview with the people out of Canada. I'm looking at other names that are on there right now. Brian Urlacher, Grant Napier, Johnny Gomes, John Buck, Kevin Youkilis. And I think this would be the perfect network for you because like I'm a Tampa radio talent, but I got on the network. So you were the PA announcer for the World Series winning Cubs. So I think this network would be perfect for you. So after the interview, I'll send you the DM about it because I think that would be right up your alley.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate that. I hadn't heard of that. I'll definitely check that out.
I randomly heard about it. Like, you know, like when you're online or doing anything and you find that like thing and you're like, oh my God, that's for me. And then you just do whatever you can to make it work. That's how I felt about it when I saw it on like a job site. I was like, this is my site. And I think this would be perfect for you because then you pay like $2 to $5 and then soon they're going to have per month payments and then people could watch your show. So I just sent you the DM about it and then you apply. So.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that.
Well, dude, keep up the good work, man. I'm glad to have known you for 7 years, and I know that you are going to get whatever you want because there's a lot of people I've met within 8 years in the media who, like, when they grow older or they do well in life, they become too cool for you. And I've had that recently where I've reached out to some people that, like, I was talking to, like, 7 years ago, and, like, they didn't add me back on Twitter or whatever, but it was so cool, and it meant a lot that you got back to me because, to me, those are the people that make it is when they're never forgetting about people from the past. So thank you for coming on the show, Andrew.
Well, it's my pleasure, Ryan. I'm proud of you, man. Keep up the good work, and definitely keep in touch.
Awesome. Thank you, Andrew. And whenever you're in Tampa, hit me up, and then if I'm in Chicago soon, I'll hit you up. Sounds good, bro?
That's the deal.
Awesome. Thank you, dude.